Thank you, Mr. James Webb. Pastor, song director, songwriter, gardener.
You're not far ahead of
me. You're wearing me out. Now, I thought you'd be at Slam Camp.
Next weekend.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Not this weekend. It's not this weekend. Oh, I thought it was this weekend. It was next weekend, all right. If it is, they're doing it without you. All right. Well, I don't know where everyone is this morning, all the hundreds of people, but anyway. Actually, this morning it's a double shot. The first power part is also part of the second, and we'll do the first part this morning. And if you've never participated in or seen a Passover Seder by the Jews, you'll really enjoy the second session this morning. One of the speakers at the pastor's conference last week was Bill Katz, K-A-T-Z, and just a superb guy. I'm hoping sometime when he comes up to Dallas, get him over here to talk with us. I told him, I said, we're an humble-sized group. And he said, that's all right. That's great. So hopefully get Katz up here, but you'll really enjoy him. He has a great sense of humor and just a wonderful, there's no way he could deny he's Jewish. Is there no way at all? And but you'll see all of that in the second session. Okay, the first section is why the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Does anyone not have the handout? Anyone not have it? Okay, who's right here? We got it for you. Got it for you, Phil, right there. All right. Now, did our three, I don't want to say visitors because they used to come here. But anyway, we have three visiting people here this morning. That's wonderful. They increased the attendance by 30%. All right. Good. She's our kind of people. And my wife accuses me, you just don't like any emotion. You think God will think y'all are charismatic. And, well, that might be true. We don't want God to think that. I like James Vernon McGee. When he taught that at Church of the Open Door in California, he said, some people don't want to get too involved because they don't want to have to calm their congregation down. He said, I'll never worry about y'all. I'll never have to calm y'all down. I might have to perk y'all up a little bit, but not calm y'all down. And probably the way I feel here. But resurrection. When I was a little guy, and that was so many years ago, we don't really want to talk about it, but everybody knew Resurrection Sunday, Easter. I hate the word Easter, but it was in schools, public schools, Christmas, Easter, and I did some of my best witnessing without even trying. What's this all about? Just tell them about the resurrection of Christ. Let's see, what television show was it? Anyway, they go out on the streets in New York and talk to people. Well, they did that this week. And do you know what this weekend is? No. Well, do you know what Easter's about? And I'll tell you what, it is so embarrassing. Less than half of the people, and of course you're talking about New York. I'm sorry, Gigi, but that's just the way it goes. Yeah, less than half the people knew anything about Easter. And most of them just said no. And one man, I understand, said, older man, long hair and all that, typical New Yorker. And he said, yeah, that's when they celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus, but I don't believe any of that stuff. And poor guy, he's chosen where he's going to spend eternity. And they asked, this is classic. They asked one lady, I'm not really sure about this or that, said, well, what do Easter eggs have to do with, what do eggs have to do with Easter? Her response, the Easter bunny hides the eggs that Jesus lays. And she said it seriously. It just is amazing, the condition of American. People think it's a political problem or Hollywood problem. No, it's a church's problem. America's where it is today because of the failure of the pulpit. And pastors not studying, teaching verse by verse, word by word. And it's just, that's what we have it. And they asked one little kid, do you know what resurrection is? And he just, no, but if it lasts over 4 hours, you got to call a doctor. And the teacher went, ah! And so we got to have the right word, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the first to be resurrected. And we wait with the hope of when we will be resurrected on that glorious day. And I don't know why we say that glorious morning, but that glorious day, time when we will all be resurrected. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. And then we will go through why the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's begin with the word of prayer. What an unbelievable God you are, Heavenly Father. Mankind was in sin. And rather than just walking away, leaving us damned, you sent your Son. Miraculous birth, sinless life, and then a cruel death on the cross. Burial for 3 days, 3 nights, raised from the dead. And Father, there's our hope. There's our confidence of our own resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen. Okay. Now, what's significant about the resurrection? Why is it important that you believe in the resurrection? Can't be proved. No one can prove the resurrection. All we have is the Bible and our faith. That's all that we have for the resurrection. Now, why do you insist on being a witness for the resurrection? Why do you believe the resurrection? What is the significance about the resurrection? Why not just let it slide like most people do? Why not believe it if you desire, but don't make a big issue about it, the fact that the man Jesus rose from the dead? It irritates me to death. Christmas is about Santa Claus, not Jesus Christ. Easter is about an Easter bunny, not Jesus Christ. And yet we all know it's about Jesus Christ. But nobody's going to say it publicly in the main media. Of course, mainstream media doesn't know much anyway. But so let's go through some of the things here. First of all, one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a demonstration of the sovereign power of the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To believe in the resurrection is to believe in God himself. If he does not have the power to resurrect the dead, then he is not worthy of our faith or our worship. Only he can raise the dead. Only he can take away the sting that is death by resurrecting to life and removing the victory of the grave to keep dead those who lie in the grave. And the combination of various passages. So the first thing about resurrection, God, his sovereign power, his plan. Secondly, the resurrection is the proof of our justification. It's amazing how so many people, when they think about and talk about salvation, including Hal Lindsey, all they can talk about is the forgiveness of sins. People, forgiveness of sins does not result in salvation. All people's sins are forgiven by the work of Christ on the cross. He died for everyone's sins. Every person that dies in the human history that has never believed in Christ, their sins are paid for. That's what Christ did on the cross. The issue of salvation is the imputation of perfect righteousness. And that happens the moment we believe in Christ. Then when you have that righteousness, God says justified. Justification, eternal life. So, it comes from Romans 4:25. He who has delivered over because of our transgressions. That's why he was crucified. Raised because of our justification. Now that passage needs a little work. So let's take a few moments on this one. This verse is so misunderstood by so many. All right, let's note some things. One, subpart one here, in dealing with justification is completed at the cross. Justification is completed at the cross. Not resurrection, at the cross. Two, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead because justification was completed on the cross. Three, justification is not accomplished by the resurrection. That verse is misunderstood by many people. Four, justification was accomplished on the cross, Romans 5, 9, much more than having been justified by his blood. That is, by the spiritual death of Christ on the cross. We shall be saved from the wrath of God through him, Jesus Christ. Subpoint 5, before Jesus Christ could be resurrected, the price must be paid in full. The saving work of Christ, including justification, was accomplished in full on the cross. Then his resurrection could occur. It is finished. Tetelestai. 6, on the cross, Jesus Christ said, it is finished. Tetelestai. This is total judicial procedure. The total judicial procedure. The cross is a judicial procedure. That's what it's about. And whether we think of it in this way, we're all intrigued by courtroom. It used to be Perry Mason, then Matlock, and I don't know if they have any out right now, but we're always intrigued by the judicial system, because we're all going to stand before God. So, point six, on the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. That is, total judicial procedure was finished. Salvation was completely finished. While Jesus was still physically alive on the cross, our justification and salvation was finished while our Lord was still physically alive. Redundant statement. 7. Then, with his work on the cross completed, Jesus died physically. Physical death of Jesus Christ is not involved in our salvation or in justification. It was his spiritual death on the cross that made possible our salvation and our justification. 8. Jesus Christ did not die physically for us. It was far more demanding than physical death. We all die physically. And there have been people who died physically for others. The old story of the soldier that jumped on top of the grenade thrown into the foxhole to save his comrades in the war. And just many stories in that regard. We're all going to die physical. But none of us can die spiritually because we're born spiritually dead. So Jesus Christ demanded, what salvation demanded, was not physical death, but the spiritual death of Christ. So under point 8, he died spiritually for us. The expiation of our sins was accomplished by the spiritual death of Jesus Christ on the cross. So God forgave all sins of everyone based on what happened on the cross. Everyone's sins are forgiven. No unbeliever will stand at the great white throne judgment because of his sins. And they will not be mentioned. Preachers get up and talk about, well, they'll see every sin that they've ever committed. There'll be a video running of every sin that they've ever committed. Forget all of that. They're there because they have refused to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, the Savior. And that's why they're there. Sins will never be an issue. And if you don't understand that, then sin's going to have to be an issue at the great white throne judgment, and they're not. They're not an issue. Why are they not an issue? Christ bore them on the cross. And that's why you don't lose your salvation because of sins. It amazes me how many people, Christians, want to take away people's salvation. Oh, you committed some horrible sin. You've done some horrible thing. You lose your salvation. No, you don't. You're blaspheming the work of Christ on the cross when you say that. He didn't die for that sin. Yes, he did. He died for all the sins of the world. So it's a spiritual death on the cross. So God, under point A, God forgave all sins of everyone based on what happened on the cross. God is now free to impute his own perfect righteousness to anyone, everyone, whoever believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior, then pronounce them justified. Point 9. Now, with justification provided for, God the Father could raise Jesus from the dead in the newness of eternal life and offer the same to whoever believes in Jesus Christ as Savior. 10. By the way, Judith and I went to see He Is Risen. Now, I don't know if you've seen it or not. I like movies like that because if I go to a movie that's based on biblical stuff, I'm just critical. Well, they left this off. They left that off. They got that. That didn't happen. Da, 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 da. In fact, Judith does not like to watch those. That series, The Bible, came out. Remember last 2 years ago or something? Well, John Hintz happened to be here at that time. And the three of us sat down in the living room and were watching it. And John and I were just lamb-blasting it. Well, and Judith just said, you know, watching this with two preachers is like watching House with a doctor. You really can't, you can't enjoy it. Oh, it was too critical. But the movie Risen is written from an unbeliever standpoint. That's what, you got to understand that when you go in. Don't look for all the rights and wrongs of it. It's an unbeliever standpoint. The centurion is told by Herod to go find the body of this Jesus. And they dig up graves and they're going into places where they're mourning and all this stuff. And he's looking. Can't find the body. Cannot find the body. And finally, he has somebody rap on the 11 disciples and he knew where they were meeting. And so he comes storming in. Just like today, the FBI. Don't knock on the door. Charged in, and there stood Jesus. And he knew it was Jesus because he was at the crucifixion. In fact, in the movie, not in life, so I didn't worry about it, he ordered them to stab Jesus in the side and all these kind of things. So he knew what Jesus looked like, and he just was in shock. He just sat there looking, and he just looked at Jesus. And then he'd look at the disciples. He looked at Jesus. And he just couldn't believe it. And so he started traveling with the disciples. And at the end, he said, I believe that this is the Jesus, the Son of God. And I thought it's very well done. And but it didn't show the resurrection at all. In fact, to me, the greatest dialogue in the movie, or actually monologue, was by one of the guards at the grave when the stone was rolled away. That, to me, did you see that? Oh, I thought he did a great job on just talking about how all of a sudden the stone rolled back and all these things started happening. Very good dissertation. So, you don't have many plans. Maybe go see He Is Risen this afternoon. We've also seen the young Messiah. There again, it wasn't based on the Bible. So it didn't offend me. And I'm not saying it's a great movie or a wonderful movie. It's just, it was okay. And they say, okay, something like that might have happened. Not, maybe it didn't, maybe it didn't. But it was enjoyable. What I liked is the focus on Jesus, though, in these movies. And I like that. They're coming back to a lot of movies. And people don't know these stories and all. They're brought back. And, you know, I need to know more about this. And so it was very well, in that sense, very well done. But they had him running and playing with the other kids, and he didn't always over in the corner praying. He was a young boy, and he was out playing and wrestling around. So That was that. The Young Messiah was the name of that one, yeah. All right, point 10. So, salvation was completed on the cross. Then Jesus died physically, and we're studying all this on Wednesday night. Then buried. Then 3 days and three nights later, rose from the dead to live forever. 3 days, three nights. Friday is out. I'm sorry. I don't want to offend anyone, but that's a Roman Catholic leftover, and a lot of Christians pick it up. There is no way it could have happened Friday. And if he's in the grave 3 days and three nights, if you take the word of God seriously, it could not have been. Now, on Friday night, Hal Lindsey, he supports the Thursday. I still don't think you can do it from Thursday. But I really don't care if you believe Friday, as long as you believe he rose again and died for the sins of the world and rose again. That's the main thing. And I'm not going to part fellowship because of a day of the week that the Bible doesn't even specifically clarify. So it says 3 days, three nights. That's Wednesday. But be that as it may, he rose from the dead to live forever. And finally, point 11 on understanding the Roman passage. He was raised because of our justification. Had he not risen from the dead, then justification is useless. But since he rose from the dead, we can each look forward to live in anticipation of our own resurrection. I'm going to use the word enjoy, and I hope you understand what I mean by that. Grave sites, after a funeral generally in an auditorium or church or somewhere. I like the gravesite. This is a victorious ground, people. This is not a sad place. On the morning of the resurrection, this is going to be a big, big, wonderful place here. And we're all going to be raised again. Okay. It would mean nothing for Jesus Christ to die for us if you remain dead. What advantage, what profit, what good would it be to believe in Jesus Christ if he did not conquer death? None. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 to 17 explains how useless it would be to believe in Christ unless he had risen from the dead. If you omit the resurrection from the gospel and its significance, then faith in Jesus Christ would be in vain. But Jesus Christ did rise, and Jesus Christ now lives. Because Jesus Christ died spiritually on the cross, he conquered sin. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he conquered death. Point 3. The resurrection. Now, this comes off of our study. Point 1, the resurrection is a demonstration of the power of God. Point 2, resurrection is proof of our justification. Now, point 3. The resurrection is part of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. 4, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is our assurance of our own resurrection at the rapture. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and our own resurrection is fundamental belief of Christianity. Bible verses given. We're just very conscious of the rapture today more than ever before in my life and in church history. And Charles Johnson has a great song, I'll See You at the Rapture. I don't know. It's all going to happen so fast. We're going to be with Christ in the air. And I think even two people that are raised from the graves right there together, husband and wife or whatever, I just don't think we're going to look at each other. Oh, hi, hey, we're going to be up there. We're going to see Jesus Christ, and we're going to be occupied with him. People, oh, I wonder if my parents or my wife or my husband or my church are thinking about me. They're in heaven. No. They're with the Lord. I'm sorry. You're way down the list. They're with Jesus Christ, God the Father. They're with David. They're with Moses. They're with a lot of wonder. We're way down on the list. Now, we're important today, but boy, when you die and you're in heaven with the Lord, And, oh, yeah, I am married somebody back there. Okay? But you're going to be with the Lord. That's what you're going to do. You're going to be occupied with Christ. That's going to be the wonderful part. All right, that's for points 3 and 4. Now, point 5. The resurrection of Jesus Christ sets the pattern for our own resurrection. We will have a resurrected body just like his incorruptible body, never subject to death. 1 John 3:2. This causes a lot of discussion. Will we be, in our terms, 33 for all eternity? I used to know two girls, and I don't know where they are today, but they wanted to look their very best when they were 33, because they said, that's the way we're going to look all eternity. So we want to look our very best. And so it's you know, I don't know. But the point is, we'll have a body just like his, go through the walls, travel to heaven in a matter of second, be-beam, boom, and you're there, all of this Star Wars stuff. And that's our resurrection, a body just like his. No religion in history has a Savior who has risen from the dead and guarantees resurrection of those who believe in him. All the founders of religion remain in the grave, including Muhammad. All right. Point 6. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is vital to our salvation. 1 Corinthians 15:12-17. It would be useless to believe in Jesus Christ if he remains dead. This is yet another aspect that separates Christianity from all the religions of the world. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship with God. Religion is man doing for God. And so this is religion, as we got it down here on the bottom, what man does for God. Christianity, what God does for man. Point 7. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul lists 6 disasters, and I mean disasters, that would destroy the Christian faith if the resurrection had not occurred. Let's take a look at them. All right. Verse 7a. Proclaiming the gospel would be useless. Verse 14. If Christ has not been risen, then our preaching is useless. That's what the passage in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 says. Next, faith in Christ would be useless. Verse 14, your faith is also useless. If Christ has not been risen, then our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. So if there's no resurrection, it's all useless. Next, all the witnesses and teachers of the resurrection be liars. Biggest liars. Trump calls Cruz a liar. Cruz calls Trump a liar. We all know Hillary Clinton's a liar. A liar, 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 liar. But people, if there's no resurrection, the biggest liars on earth are preachers who proclaim it. They're the biggest liars on earth. Verse 15. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God because we testified against God that he raised Christ whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. So we're liars if there is no resurrection. Next. No one would be redeemed from their sins. Verse 17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins if there's no resurrection. Next. All those who had believed in Christ have perished. Verse 18. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Now someday, Lord willing, and I may be rolled in there on a wheelchair, we'll get to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're in chapter 10 now. So I don't want to know how long it's been, but we're in chapter 10. We'll get to chapter 15 unless the rapture occurs. and study this just very methodically, verse by verse, or word by word, syllable by syllable. All right. Now, all those who have believed in, down to 7 Eve, all those who have believed in Christ have perished, verse 18, then those also who have fallen asleep, physical death, in Christ have perished. No life after death. Next, those who believe in Jesus Christ for everlasting life are to be the most pitied people on earth had Jesus Christ not risen from the dead. They are to be the most pitied. Verse 19, if we have hope, and we do, since we have hope actually, since we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. If there's no resurrection, because we're just so stupid believing in this stuff, if there is no resurrection. But since Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, this is the assurance of all those who believe in him. Verse 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of all those who are asleep, those who have died physically. Okay, now that moves us to point 8. Jesus Christ is known as the Son of God by his resurrection. Romans 1:4. 9, the ninth reason, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is crucial to the ascension and session of Jesus Christ. If he's not raised, he cannot go up to heaven nor be seated at the right hand of the Father. So point 9, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is crucial to the ascension, that's the taking of Christ from the earth to the heavenly throne, session, seating of Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. We believe that God became man in the person of Jesus Christ, died spiritually on the cross, bearing the judgment for all the sins of the world, was buried, and 3 days and three nights later was resurrected and ascended into heaven, and now sits at the right hand of God on the throne of God. He will sit on his throne after the second advent, going to the millennial kingdom. Right now he's sitting on the throne of God. This is the victory in the invisible war, passages given. Now, Wes Tuttle sent me, if you wanted, you could ask him, I'm sure I'll send it to you. Wednesday night, I pointed out there are documents put out by the Jewish society, and they leave out Isaiah 53 out of the Bible. And he sent me a website article, and where they interview, talk to people, and there are several Jewish documents. Isaiah 53 is not there, and it's called Some Jews, and according to this article, this website, many Jews, what's going on? Why is it left out? And many Jews today are looking at Isaiah 53 for the first time and having to answer a lot of questions that we're studying right now on Wednesday night in Isaiah 53. That was a commercial, if you didn't know it, for Wednesday night study. Okay. 10. 10th reason. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the assurance of his return at the end of the last 7 years of the age of Israel, end of the 7 years of tribulation. If there is no resurrection, then obviously there's no return. So if he's going to return, he's got to have risen. So the resurrection is guaranteed of the second advent, the second coming of Christ, his coming back to earth after the 7 years of the last 7 years of the age of Israel. I know we call it the 7 years of tribulation, and I do too, but it's really the last 7 years of the age of Israel. They were promised 490 years. They've had 483. They have seven left, and that's why the tribulation is 7 years. So when you say tribulation, I hope you understand you're saying the last 7 years promised to Israel in the Old Testament after the Babylonian return from Babylonian captivity. All right, point 11. We're going to get through way too early, James. All right, point 11. Resurrection of Jesus Christ is necessary for the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, for the perpetuation of the line of David, to sit on the throne of David. Now, I could take up for time by looking at all these passages, and that would do it. And but I'm not going to do that. But you have Psalm 89 and 2 Timothy 2:8, 2 Samuel 7. We studied 2 Samuel 7 in our prophecy series after we studied Daniel. And 2 Samuel 7 is extremely important in dealing with the Davidic covenant. But all of those passages deal with the Davidic covenant and how the king to come must be in the line of David. And Jesus Christ is the only one who fits all the requirements for the king to return and sit on the throne of David, promised by God to David and to Israel. All right, point 12. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is necessary for the faithfulness of God. Where in Isaiah 53:10, he will crush Jesus Christ, death on the cross, but will also prolong his days. That is through the resurrection. Now, those two pictures that James put in, we know from the Word of God that he was crucified at Golgotha, and that's the place of the skull. And if you go to Israel, a lot of people do not believe that the garden tomb is the tomb where Christ was buried. I don't know if it is or not, but there's no doubt that the skull is there and has been there. And it has survived all through these centuries. And so you can see the skull, and when you're standing there looking at it, it's really vivid and really something. That was one of my most dramatic moments in my going to Israel with Judith. Now, she's been there 6 or 7 times, but she's part Jewish, I think. But I've been there once, and it was just beautiful. It was unbelievable. But this was a memorable moment when you're standing over here looking back at the Golgotha, or the place of the skull. Okay, now point 13. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the confidence of every believer of our own resurrection in the future. Acts 24:15 tells us how we are all to live each day, living in expectation of the resurrection about to be. Now, in our study of 1 and 2 Thessalonians, we saw living in preparation for the rapture. Here we have living in preparation and expectation of the resurrection. We're all going to be resurrected. And don't worry about how you look physically. Be concerned how you are spiritually. We're getting ready to start next Sunday a new book in the New Testament. And we're going to see, you don't want to forfeit. You do not want to forfeit blessings in eternity. And you can do that in your life now. You can actually forfeit wonderful blessings. You don't want to do that. Nor do you want to be ashamed. And there is a shame that precedes heaven and at the judgment seat of Christ. You don't want to be ashamed either. So we'll study all of that coming up next week. So point 13, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the confidence of every believer of our own resurrection in the future. Acts tells us how we are to live each day, living today in expectation of a resurrection about to be. If you believe in your own resurrection, then this is how you should live each day. Therefore, in living each day with no fear of death or after death, this little sign, "He is not here, is risen," is on the garden tomb door. And James has put in some verses there. Right? Christians are to be laughed at if there is no resurrection. For it is the assurance of the resurrection that Christians suffer for Christ's sake. Now, America is a country under glass. Our forefathers founded this country. 33% of our Constitution and Bill of Rights is taken from the Bible. That's more than any other one document. And they believed in it. They believed in the Bible. They believed in God. They were not all Christians. But they did believe in God. They did believe in the Bible. And they founded our nation into that regard. We have moved so far away from the Bible. Pulpits even have moved away from it. We've removed the Bible from the judicial system. Now they do not have to have any grounds for any decision they make. The Bible is no longer there. So they can make any decision they want about the American family, about anything, without any kind of constraint of the Bible. We have removed the Bible from our educational system. Therefore, they can teach evolution, not constrained by the Bible anymore. There is no Word of God anymore in our educational system. So, evolution is no longer a theory. It's fact. It is not fact. One of the most wonderful things last week was Dr. Stephen Austin, a geologist. And I mean, he is unbelievable. The man loves rocks. I love ice cream. He loves rocks. I mean, he loves them. You and I walk by, oh, there's a rock. Oh, look at that. Wow. And he loves mud. He loves to play in mud. He loves to study mud. And he has shown young Earth. Young Earth. And he did it through Grand Canyon and Mount St. Helen. And he's written a book on how Mount St. Helen proves the young Earth view. And it's just remarkable. Dr. Stephen Austin, you can get him on the internet, get his book. It is just absolutely remarkable. This man, we had the privilege of taking him to out to dinner one night. He is fun. He is personable and approachable and just really delightful. But, oh, so intelligent. Unbelievable. And the things that he has discovered in his studies of Mount St. Helen, the Grand Canyon, the Dead Sea. He's dug in five different places in the Dead Sea. And what you have to do now is it's so low, you have to drop a ladder. And you climb down in this little area, like to get down in there to get into the mud. And he just loves doing that. And not me. I'll go over here and pour some water on some dirt. And that's mud. All right. Now, point 14. Close to 13 is the impact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our daily relation with Jesus Christ. We have seen the importance of the faithfulness of God. Now we have the faithfulness of Jesus, our Savior, and our friend. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is a guarantee that He can keep His word to us and give us what He Himself possesses and what He promises, our own resurrection. He has conquered death and offers this same victory to everyone who believes in Him. People, God does not determine that anyone's going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. You choose to spend eternity separated from God. God doesn't choose. You choose. I do not believe in Jesus as the Savior, the Son of God. I do not believe in the resurrection. You've chosen where you're going to spend eternity. I choose to believe in eternal existence of a lake of fire. It's just as amazing what this does. So this is something that we cannot be said of the, in our own resurrection. He has conquered death, offers the same victory to everyone who believes in Him. This is something that cannot be said of Muhammad or Buddha or Allah, any other God or so-called God, any of them, or prophet. Who is Allah raised from the dead? No one. No religious leader in history has been raised from the dead. Not even Joseph Smith has been raised from the dead. Only Jesus Christ, our Savior. And there's our hope, our confidence of our resurrection. So no religious leader in history has been raised from the dead save Jesus Christ has conquered sin and death. Scripture's given. Point 15. Therefore, the resurrection is the guarantee of ultimate sanctification. That means you're sanctified or set apart for God for all eternity. Sanctification means being set apart. Point 16. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is also a pattern of our spiritual recovery from sin. Every time we sin results in temporal death. but we are raised to new life by faith in the Holy Spirit. Those Barry Chafer, great book. He had a spiritual, chapter 7, where it just opened my eyes. As unbelievers, we're spiritually dead. Cannot do anything but faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, you're saved, raised to new life. Now, as believers, we cannot lose our salvation, but you can lose spiritual life. You're spiritually dead temporally. So there's nothing you can do. There's no confession, no ritual, no sayings, no mental, psychological, physical thing we can do. All we can do is faith. Just as we did at salvation. God sent His Son for our eternal salvation. God sent His Spirit for our spiritual deliverance. And so it's by faith. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a pattern for our spiritual recovery. Every time we sin results in temporal death, but we are raised to the newness of life by faith in the Holy Spirit. And Colossians 2:6 is the primary verse, which we'll be looking at sometime in the next year, this year. Point 17. The existence of the current age, the church age, depends on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is head of the church. The Holy Spirit cannot be sent without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John 7:39. If He doesn't rise again, no Holy Spirit, no church age. And finally, point 18, 18th reason in dealing with and believing in the resurrection of Christ. Without the resurrection, it is impossible for Christ to be glorified. There is no glorification of the dead, only the living. While His death was ignoble, a curse, His resurrection is glorious. And James ended with, He is not here, He is risen. So there are 18 reasons for believing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if you know of any more, tell me and I'll add them on here if they're biblical. And these have been compiled over a period of time. So just you can work on these and think about it, share it with others. Huh? Yes. Now, in the next class, after our brief break, we're going to have a wonderful, unusual, something we've never done before. We're going to see what the Seder is all about in this class. All right, let's close in a word. Any questions about the resurrection? And our 18 points. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. He is risen. It's a declaration to You, Father. It's a praise of You and Your power, Your sovereignty, Your plan, Your grace, Your love, Your mercy. To Your Son and to us who are in Your Son. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ, the whole body of Christ at this time. But Heavenly Father, we celebrate it every day. We live in anticipation of our own resurrection because You have raised Your Son. Your faithfulness is at stake, not us. Your faithfulness. Father, we praise You for the God You are. Pray that You'll take the things we've seen this morning, have them settled in our souls, and become a reality in our lives. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.